Now, as we prepare to launch into this particular text that I picked up for preaching at the pulpit, well, at my desk at this time, I'm always careful when I select a very familiar text that most folks are familiar with. You've heard this preached many a time. Every preacher's got a midnight sermon somewhere. So I want to take a fresh look at this old and familiar text. It says in the book of Acts in chapter 16, verse 25, herein is the reading, just for emphasis sakes, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the very prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass fadeth and the flower fadeth and withereth away, but the word of our God, it shall stand, it shall endure, it shall last forever. And it is by this word that the gospel is preached unto you on this day. I want to choose for a subject from which to teach from this morning. Suddenly at midnight. Suddenly at midnight. If they ask, what did the preacher preach about? Suddenly at midnight. And I'm continuing the theme of dealing along with the idea, the notion of transitions that we're going through in our lives. We're all going through various transitions at this time. So I want to use this text to kind of teach that and how we can survive and make it through the various transitions of life. Some are national transitions, some are congregational, and some are personal that you're going through, that I'm going through, that we're having to deal with. What I want to show you this morning as we observe and survey this ancient and most familiar of texts is how God uses transitions in life to shift and transform our lives. Those are some key words for you if you want to write some down. Transition, shift, transform. Keep those words in mind. You see, it is through prayer and praise to God that when we give our prayer and our praise to God, even in what seems to be our darkest hours, he can provide deliverance. Oh, glory. That's a good word right there. In verse 25, he deals with prayer and praise. And in verse 26, we'll examine deliverance. So verse 25, we'll examine prayer and the praise. And then we get to verse 26, we'll examine deliverance. Suddenly, at midnight, December 7th, 1941, in the words of President Franklin D. Roosevelt, a day that will live in infamy. On a warm Sunday morning, the Imperial Japanese Navy Air Service launched a surprise preemptive military strike against the naval base Pearl Harbor in Honolulu, Hawaii. The attack led to the United States' formal entry into the World War, known as World War II, and America never saw it coming because it happened all of a sudden. And suddenly, it's midnight. September 11, 2001, on a crisp, clear, cool Tuesday morning, I can remember driving into work and a series of four coordinated terrorist attacks by the group Al-Qaeda was launched against the United States. American Airlines Flight 11, United Airlines Flight 175, American Airlines Flight 77, and United Airlines Flight 93, intended to target the White House or the U.S. Capitol, but was taken down by passengers aboard the flight in Stony Creek Township, most people forgot this, near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And America never saw it coming because it happened all of a sudden. And suddenly, it's midnight. Okay, I've gone back too far for you. 30 January 2020, the Director General declared the novel coronavirus outbreak a public health emergency of international import and concern, the World Health Organization's highest level of alarm, and America never saw it coming because it happened Come on, you can help me preach it. All of a sudden. And suddenly, it's midnight. All of us would agree that we're in the middle of what many would call or consider a midnight situation, dealing with what has been referred to as an invisible enemy, this biological virus, which has presented us with debilitating and deadly consequences that has wreaked havoc and devastation on friends, loved ones, and coworkers. And it looks like midnight. As we continue to confront this sociological virus of injustice, racial inequality, police brutality, economic disparity, and food insecurities ravishing many of our communities, it looks like, you can help me preach it, midnight. Then there are those who are wrestling with financial insecurity, finding their 401ks exhausted after 60 days. Checking accounts overdrawn, savings accounts exhausted, while facing the uncertainty of being furloughed, not knowing if there'll be a job to come back to when you come back. And it looks like midnight. Amen. Then there are others who feel imprisoned in isolation with nowhere to go and no one to talk to. And then if you add insult to injury, there are those who feel terrorized because they find themselves having to stay in place with someone with whom they don't even want to be left alone with. And it looks like midnight. But after giving you that grim reality, it is important to recognize and realize that midnight represents more than your darkest hour of despair. It's also your transition for your transformation. Yeah. Your midnight is a reset for your reality. It's an alignment for your advancement. It's provocation for possibilities. God is about to do something in your midnight. You need to know this. God does some of his best work in the dark. Now, I know some of us, bad preacher. Listen, God, it says over in Psalms 139, around this one, Psalms 139, 11 and 12, he says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. You see, yea, the darkness hideth from thee, but the night shines as the day. You need to understand this. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There is no darkness for God. He sees all and he knows all. So midnight represents for you and I, it represents our transition. That's a transitional period for us. Okay, let me tell you this way. At midnight is actually your tomorrow that still looks like your yesterday. Okay, I'll say that again. Midnight is actually your tomorrow that still looks like your yesterday. Mm-hmm. The reality is at 12 a.m., if I write you a check, I don't put a date on the check from the day you just left. Amen? Thank you. I put a date on the check for the day you are heading. God is taking us into a new day. Listen, God wants you to know, don't let the darkness of the midnight fool you. Your transition is going to reveal your transformation. A new day is coming, Church of Christ. It's hard to see what's ahead or just what's in front when it's midnight, but don't worry in your midnight because joy comes. We realize that it comes in the morning, but you need to understand this. Morning is not a new day. You are now just beginning to see the light of the new day. Boy, you preaching now. Listen, I'm just preaching to myself. Okay. So what I had to understand when I was putting this message together is that even though you may seem like you're in a midnight moment right now, it may seem dark right now, it's already, a new day has already begun. That's why you have to keep praying and praising God, even in, y'all feeling it? Amen. Your midnight. But while you are in the midnight, while you are dealing with your transition, trouble, tribulation, trials, or temptations, problems, issues, concerns, or decisions that you may be wrestling with, you need to do at least two things. I know two things from this particular text that is teaching us. Two things I know you need to do in your midnight. according to this particular text. You need to pray. And you need to still give God your very best praise. Now walk with me for the next few moments around the text. Verse 25 says, and at midnight, you find Paul and Silas, you find them praying, and they sing praises unto God. And we recognize that the prisoners heard them. Here's your first point. Here's the first point I want you to observe. Firstly, let us observe that they prayed unto God. They prayed and praised in prison. That is, while they were in their midnight hour, while they were in their transition, the joy of the morning had not yet come. They didn't know when deliverance was going to come. They had no idea that in just a few moments that suddenly something is getting ready to happen. So they just kept praying and praising God until something happened. They were sheltered in place. They were practicing social distancing. Long before there was ever a transformation, long before they were transformed from captivity to liberty, long before the earth quaked and the jailhouse rocked and the shackles fell and the prison doors were open, and before the jailer even ran in and cried, what must I do to be saved? They prayed and praised God right there in their midnight, church. That's the lesson. I don't know what you're going through. But prayer and praise changes things. Prayer and praise shift things around. Listen, you're having to deal with family issues. Pray. You got health issues. Pray. You got children issues. Pray. Financial issues. Pray. Tired of all of the uncertainties. Pray. You're dealing with the loss of a loved one. Pray. You become the parent to your parent. Pray. Folks won't wear a mask. Pray. Had little kids run up to my house just a few minutes ago before I got online. No mask on, just run up to the door. I'm like, pray. Okay. Tired of lies, lack of leadership from the White House. I said it, pray and vote. But pray first, because you may not get what you vote for. But if you pray, you know that you're going to have God's favor on your life. And he will get you through any midnight that may occur. God has already gone ahead and he's shifted it. He's shifted things for you. Even if it doesn't look like it, church, I know we're getting tired. I know you're getting zoomed out. I know, but when you pray, okay, let me slow down and say this so that you hear me well. When you pray, shift happens. Make sure you tweet me right now, okay? I've heard pray until something happens. Pray until the shift happens. Don't stop. You got to keep praying because God can shift things around. He can maneuver things around and work them. Listen, let me slow down. Here's a PowerPoint for you. Understand this. The shift may not always go the way you planned, but it will always be in God's favor. Boy, I know you're preaching now. The shift may not always go the way you plan, but it will always be in God's favor. God's word will not return unto him void. God is shifting things around so that even though it doesn't look like it, even though you're in your midnight, even though you're in your transition, he's shifting things around to work out in his favor. And it will work out for your good, even though it may not seem good or pleasant at the time. Look at Isaiah 46 and verse number 10. Look at Isaiah 46 and verse number 10.
Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done,
yes, sir.
Saying, my counsel shall stand.
Whose counsel, God? Whose counsel?
My counsel, the God. Counsel of God.
My counsel, God says, my counsel shall stand.
Finish and that. I will do all my pleasure.
Listen. Let me read to you from, I think it was Jerry or Danny last week that got me thinking about the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version reads this way. Declaring the end and the result from the beginning. God has the results for COVID-19. He's already got the results. He had it from the very beginning. It just has not been revealed to us yet. He says, declaring the end and the result from the beginning and from ancient times of things which have not yet been done. There are things that have not yet been discovered that God's already aware of. He already knows about. He says, my purpose will be established and I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose. There's stuff that we're dealing with right now on an individual level, personal level, finance, all of this stuff. God has a purpose for. As a matter of fact, I preached a sermon some months ago called There's a Message in Your Misery. Just hang on, church. Keep praying and praising God. Listen, secondly, let us observe that they sang praises unto God. Now, I don't know what they were singing, near my God to thee. It won't be very long till this. I don't know what they were singing or praising, but they praised God. And you need to understand that praise is confessing the name of God. Praise at its very core, praise at its very essential is being thankful to God, giving God thanks. You can give God thanks all day long. You don't have to wait to give thanks to God. Nothing stops you from doing that. Something that changed my life a long time ago. I shouldn't say a long time ago. But if you ever go back and read Hebrews 13 and 15, you don't have to read it now. Go back and read Hebrews 13 and 15. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. And understand the sacrifice of praise. Praise requires a sacrifice. You see, if you ain't been through nothing, if God hasn't brought you through something, if he hasn't done anything, you don't really. But when you think about the goodness of God and what he's done for you, how you've benefited from being in the presence of God, it ought to bring a joyful heart. Hebrews 13 and 15. Listen, it says this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, but giving thanks to his name. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer, it says in NIV, you continually offer to God this sacrifice of praise. Understand that sacrifice is not always what you give up as much as it is what you give to God. And don't forget, when you read the text and it goes on in verse number 16, oftentimes this part gets left out. In verse number 16 of Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, they go together. It says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. God is pleased when we share the gospel with those who are lost. That's what disciples do. They help make other disciples. They don't get saved and then stand next to the pool. They get out of the pool. Walk away from the pool, walk out of the building, and go help save other folk. That's what disciples do. But let me get back to back. Let me get back to praise. I was a good rabbit to chase. I was about to chase it, Brother Lopez. But listen, for many years, I used to wonder, why would people come to church and not want to sing? Puzzled me. Until I found out that there is a difference between singing and praising. Y'all with me? Okay. Singing is physical. Praise is spiritual. Singing comes out of the mouth. Praise comes out of the heart. Singing deals with action. Praise deals with connection. Singing is external. Praise is internal. So when you hear me singing, you are merely witnessing outward expression of an inward praise. But don't get it twisted. A singing lip does not necessarily mean a spirit-filled, thankful heart. The sacrifice of praise in Hebrews 13 and 15 is a thank offering offered to God for some benefit that has been received. Hasn't God been good to you? Haven't you received some benefits from God that causes you to want to praise God even in your midnight? Listen, church, listen. I'm going to rush on, but listen. You got to get this. We have to get this. Some of us are behind on our praise payments. We in the rear.
Yes, sir.
We in the rears. After all God has done for us and is doing, you are still vertical and ventilating. Let me give you, I won't give you 10. I'll give you 5 reasons why you need to praise God. Here go 5. He woke you up this morning. He woke you up this morning. He woke you up this morning. Oh, y'all gonna make me go through all 5? He woke you up this morning. He woke you up this morning. What else does God need to do for you, for him to get your praise? How many of you know that shift happens, both negative and positive? But understand this, God can take a negative and turn it into a positive. You can't even start your car without a negative and a positive charge. Ain't no big thing for God to take a negative and turn that thing into a positive. Even though you're in your midnight, even though it seems the darkest time, daylight is coming. God can shift things around and allow things to shift. But understand this as I get ready to close. And when it occurs, when shift happens, sometimes it occurs suddenly. Listen, here comes the deliverance. Here comes the deliverance. Verse number 26. Here comes the deliverance. Here comes the deliverance. Here comes the deliverance. Shift happens suddenly. Shift happens suddenly. Here's my point number 3. Shift happens suddenly. Paul and Silas didn't know that while they were praying and praising God, that God was already planning their escape. He was already planning their deliverance. They didn't know that, though. When you read the text, it just goes from verse 25. Thanks, Adrian, to verse number 26. Like, this wasn't no big thing. You have no idea how many hours they were in prison, how many hours they were there praying. It said it was at midnight. They could have been there all day. They could have been there 3 or 4. But when it did come, it came suddenly. When the change came, when the deliverance came, it came suddenly. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations, everything changed just like that. And immediately, suddenly, all the doors were open. What we're going through right now, it's got an end. It has a shelf life. Listen, God has everything under control, even when the earth is shifting beneath our feet. God has an escape plan to deliver us, not only from our midnight, but from our sins. Now, here comes the shouting part. If God didn't do nothing else for you, He sent his son to die on the cross for you, to deliver you from your midnight. No matter how long it may seem that you're going through whatever you're going through, there is a shelf life. There is an end. There is a morning. There is a day coming. He wants to transition us so he can transform us, so that he can translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. How do I become a child of God? How do I get into the kingdom? How do I get into not the ecclesia, not the church? How do I get into the basileia? How do I get into the kingdom? You see, God takes you out of the world. We are the church, but he places us in the kingdom, and he expects us to be kingdom disciples. We're going to be talking about that in coming up. That's a whole other thing than just being a Christian, just being a church member. Discipleship costs. Lest I go too far from the preaching point. Listen, let me close out with this. No matter how careful, cautious, or concerned one may be about planning, preparing, or preparations, there will always be some things in life that will surprise you, as I close. But no thing surprises God. And you should never be surprised of the returning of our Lord and Savior on a cloud someday, even when it occurs, and it will occur suddenly. Let me give you some scripture to go back and read at your leisure. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. Go read the Olivet Discourse. Just read all of it. But Matthew 24, particular, verse 27, 35, and 36. The Lord is coming back, church. And when he returns, it will be suddenly. Let me just read this as we close out. Acts 1 and 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with, watch this, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's the only trump I'm listening for. The trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And when all of this happens, it's going to happen suddenly. How sudden is it going to happen, Brother Murphy? Matthew 24, 27, 35, and 36 says this. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. See why it's important to comfort one another with the words of Christ? But of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. When the Lord returns, it will be suddenly. For some, it will be midnight. Let me smile when I say it. But for others, it would just be a new day. Okay, listen, the heart-piercing and mind-numbing, soul-searching question is this. Will you, let me put this for you, four words. Let me give you an interrogative, four words, and then let me give you a declarative that you don't want to hear. Some of you all know where I'm going with this. As an interrogative, let me challenge you with this. Will you be ready? He's coming. You know, we sing the song, troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Listen, it could be morning, night, or noon, but it's coming back and it's going to be soon. And you don't know what soon is. So that's why if you are ready, stay ready. If you're not ready, make sure that you get ready. Because here are the four words you never want to hear. The four saddest words, you all that know me know these. The four saddest words ever to be heard by any mortal tongue, by any mortal ear, I should say. I never knew you. Midnight is your transition into a new day, a new way, a new walk, a new talk, a new way of life. As I close, listen, Jesus is returning. I don't care what atheists say. I don't care what agnostics say. I don't care what science may say. There is a God. He sent his son. He died on a cruel and rugged cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to scripture. And he is returning and coming back again. Will you be ready? This is serious stuff, folks. Over 800 something thousand folks have left this earth simply because of COVID, not because of other stuff. Folks, you know, have left this earth. We got to wake up, church. We've got to become kingdom disciples and start spreading the gospel. Listen, I, like Ezekiel, I am a watchman. My job is to warn, to watch and to warn. Brother Lopez's job is to watch. Dante's job as a minister is to watch and warn. Brother Avery's job is to watch and to warn. Because if I don't warn you, your blood is on my hand. But if I warn you, and you don't obey the gospel, that's on your hands. I've done my part. I pray that someone today will be encouraged. And I pray that if you're there, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're in somebody else's house. When I close out in just a few moments, if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you need to make sure you do that today. Not tomorrow. You need to make sure you do that today. Because suddenly the Lord will return. And you want your midnight to open up to a beautiful brand new day. If you are subject to God's call on your life at this time, I was always taught, never end a sermon on a negative note. So glory to the Lamb who was slain for the foundation of the world. At this time, I'm going to make way to give way for your response. If there are some right now who are going through a midnight moment, if you're going through some transitions in your life, you're dealing with stuff, your heart is heavy, you just need prayer. That's what we're here for. We are a praying church. That's one thing we know. We know how to do a lot of things, but one thing I know we know how to do well, and that is pray to God. By faith, repentance, and baptism, and in that in water for the salvation of your soul. I give way at this time for those who may be in need of prayer. Maybe in need of baptism. We will find a way today to make sure that you are added to the body of Christ, that you are added to the basileia. You're placed in the kingdom at this time. And I'll wait for your response. Thank you.